Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's Monday. It's a new week, and we have new hopes for greater levels of fitness, strength, and, of course, increased longevity. Here at the Superhuman Nation, we have a returning guest who is a favorite guest of mine. I think of him as a friend. No. More like a brother, to be honest with you, and that is Adel Moussa in just a moment. Just got a couple announcements to make. First of all, if you haven't heard about it already, Crealkaline is the only patented buffered creatine monohydrate supplement in the world, and you can try it for free by going to superhumanradio.com, bottom right-hand side of the newly redesigned website without all the banner ads on it. You'll see a banner that says, Ask the Scientist. Click that and ask Dr. Jeff for a free sample of Crealkaline. And, of course, remember to include your mailing address or you won't get it. Without further ado, Adel Moussa, how are you?
I'm doing actually quite fine.
Good. So we're doing a recap today of the German Paleo Convention that just went on. But also later in the show, we're going to talk about fish oil because, as always, Adel Moussa has some insights into fish oil supplements that most people miss entirely. But let's get started. First of all, when was the paleo event in Germany?
It was actually last week on Saturday. And there was a, the actual symposium where you could listen to the talks was on Saturday, and there was another installment of the market where you could buy all sorts of product on a Sunday. But actually, Saturday was the main event.
Okay, so you were invited as a guest lecturer, correct?
Yes, I was.
And this is an offshoot of the paleo movement here in the United States. Or do you feel that Germany has its own paleo form of paleo, their own style of paleo movement going on?
I think that there are many similarities, although maybe our German mentality makes it a bit different. The basis is actually the same. And if you look at the people who are who were there, it's quite similar to the U.S., where it started with rather the young and crazy folks, and then was expanded to people from all different age groups and all different social and educational backgrounds.
Do you think that, and I don't, and again, what I know about Germany is from living in the United States and looking at Germany and what I learn about Germany from different media outlets and so on. But I tend to believe that Germans tend to be more pragmatic than Americans. Americans tend to be more viscerally driven, but Germans tend to be a little bit more realistic and do things based on practical information as opposed to theoretical information. Am I wrong about that? Do the Germans tend to be more sensible, more grounded, less swept away with the movement than Americans?
Yeah, they certainly are, and I think they're, above all, very skeptical usually when it comes to taking dietary or health advice. So if you want to give out health advice here in Germany successfully, you better have a degree in medicine, because people really are skeptical about everything that's not coming from a doctor. And when I talk about doctors in this context, it's really important for most of them that it's a medical doctor and not any doctor. So as a physicist, I'm not in the position to actually advise somebody on health, at least for most of the Germans. They will be pretty skeptical about my advice.
Okay, with that being said, before this paleo symposium, over the past few years, have the Germans been quick to accept this notion that the way we eat today is somehow flawed and we have to look back to an earlier time in order to find the original human diet? Or do they think in their more pragmatic attitude, this is nonsense?
Well, I think the majority was very skeptical and hard to accept this idea, because the belief in the mainstream recommendations is maybe even stronger over here in Germany than it is in the U.S. On the other hand, there is the same trends as you can see them in the U.S., that more and more people try to get their own grasp on their diets and to resort to other sources of information and also the internet. And you have to keep in mind that in Germany you learn the English language at school obligatory. So most of us are actually able to find information on U.S. websites. And if you look at the paleo movement in Germany, most of the people got at least started on the English websites, and they also know the gurus, the American gurus of the paleo movement, and therefore I think that it's not an exact one-to-one copy here in Germany. There are obvious differences also in terms of how excited people are about the ideas.
Right.
But I think in general there are more similarities than differences.
And does Germany have its own equivalents to Rob Wolf and Dr. Lauren Cordain? Do they have the people who are carrying the flame now of the paleo movement who are actually working in universities, replicating some of the research or doing some of the research that is now promoting a more pragmatic, more sensible approach to paleo? Or are they looking to us here in the United States and then extrapolating what and making it more practical?
I think it's rather the latter, and I'm not the perfect expert you should ask about this, because as you know, I like many things about the paleo diet, but I'm not quote unquote paleo myself. If you look around though, there are no gurus, and especially as far as I know, there are no larger research groups which are actually doing studies, you can see, that are now done in the US. I mean, there have been in the last 2 or 3 years, there have been at least 3 randomized clinical trials which actually show that a paleo-style diet, usually it's not exactly identical to what most people understand what a paleo diet looks like, has profound beneficial effects on your health. No research like this is coming out of Germany as of now.
Okay, now the next question, while not about paleo, should elucidate why or why not the paleo movement is or isn't what it is in Germany. So in Germany, first of all, is there a large pharmaceutical big pharma push for the use of drugs to cure everything? And the part B to that question is, do the Germans find themselves in the same type of ill health, chronic disease, obesity, and so on that we have here in the United States?
I think the push from the pharma industry is a bit different in Germany, because it usually takes much longer for drugs to be approved here in Europe. It's actually rather a European issue, because most of the drugs are now regulated by the European Union and not directly in Germany. So I would say that the tendency is still there. So usually if you have high cholesterol levels, your doctor will suggest that you take a statin drug, for example. On the other hand, however, I think that in general here it may be more pronounced in the U.S. also, because there are many obese people here in Germany, but the obesity rate in Germany is still a bit lower than in the U.S., and especially extreme obesity is rather... Or it's not really rare in Germany, but it's not so prevalent as it is in the U.S. currently.
So would you agree with me? The reason, my logic here is that, you know, if the Germans don't find themselves in the situation that we find ourselves here in the United States, where 50% of the population is now overweight, obese, and chronically ill, and people are looking for answers, any answer, then the paleo, what paleo quote-unquote promises may or may not be that interesting to the Germans, who go, well, we don't have these problems. What, you know, the diet that we have now is working perfectly fine.
I think that's not really the case. I think it may take some more time, because currently you rather see more and more Germans going vegan or vegetarian at least. And this is a huge trend that has also been taken up by the industry. So many of the, or one of the largest producers of meat products and wurst and sausages and stuff like this, it has now come up with a vegetarian line of all of its products. And this is the major trend here for the health conscious people, unfortunately. And I think one of the problems with paleo is that many Germans still think of meat as being rather unhealthy, and meat is an important part of the paleo diet. And on the other hand, there is also this prevalent of eating bread. I mean, if you come to Germany, and actually the U.S. speak, or the U.S. visitors at the Paleo conference also noticed this, there is a bakery at every corner. Sometimes one is right next to the other. So, dinner for Germans usually involves tons of bread, and it's probably very difficult for people to imagine, that they have to let go of this, habit.
But wait a minute. So before we get into the recap of the event itself, this opens another question. So maybe grains are not as insulting in Germany as they are here in the United States. Is there some phenomenon? Maybe the grains are farmed differently, they're treated differently, and we don't have the obvious issues that we're having here in the United States with gluten sensitivities, leaky gut, and so on and so forth in Germany?
I think there may be some differences, but for many people there are the same issues, because there's a trend away from real good bakery products towards industrially produced breads, and also a trend away from the classic or traditional breads, which are often made with sourdough here in Germany, to regular white wheat products. And I think so that in general we are going, we are walking the same path as you are in the U.S., especially with all the new bakeries that are popping up here, not producing their bread directly at the bakery, but rather in large industrialized factories, where the bread will just be rebaked or baked once again for a few minutes in the local bakery. So I think the trend is the same, although many people are still buying classically produced breads and sourdough breads from the bakeries. And maybe this is a bit different, because if you look at the research, there is some evidence that especially the sourdough breads don't have the same consequences for your intestinal tract as the highly processed, industrial produced white bread.
Well, you actually did a discussion on sourdough bread on a Subversity Science Roundup here on Supium Radio a couple years ago, where you discussed that the enzymes used in sourdough may actually neutralize some of the gluten, but also may aid in lowering the glycemic index and glycemic load of the bread itself. I remember that. Didn't you do that?
Yeah, I did. I think I mentioned it in one of the Science Roundups.
Yeah.
Exactly. And many of the traditional, I think maybe if you think about paleo, things like sprouting, all these traditional methods of preparing grains or grainy things like this, they have their make sense if you look at the science that's coming up now. So if you leave them aside and go towards those standardized industrially produced white bread, I think you will encounter the same issues here in Germany. And the people I talked to at the Paleo conference, all of them said that they really can't tolerate bread, and most of them said that they experienced huge benefits, especially from leaving out gluten-containing foods. And if you look at the supermarket, which is usually a good measure of what's trending these days, you will find that many companies are now advertising products that are gluten-free. Sometimes those are products that usually contain gluten, but often it's actually a product that never contained gluten, and now it's marketed as gluten-free and being especially good for you, although it never contained gluten anyway.
I laugh when I see frozen chicken breasts, and it has a big thing that says gluten-free, like it's a special kind of chicken that doesn't have gluten in it. I always laugh when I see that. But you know, with the discussion of gluten, without deviating too far, I've talked about on this show that I suspect that while gluten may be not a great thing, and it does have an inflammatory effect. It appears to have an inflammatory effect even in people who are non-celiac disease but still gluten sensitive. That I believe that there's something else going on with disruption of microbes in the gut and or the lining of the stomach that's allowing gluten to be perhaps not neutralized like it was before. And I keep coming back to glyphosate and things like that and their disruptive effects. So glyphosate is used in Germany, is it not?
I didn't understand the last one.
I think that glyphosate is playing a role in the whole gluten sensitivity.
And it's not being used in Germany. I think it's banned in the EU. So, if at all there is a problem, there may be a problem with the new international trade TTIP or what it's called.
Yes.
When the standards will be equalized in the EU and in America. This is among the points people in the European Union are actually criticizing in this context. But I think there's another thing involved here, because I recently read a study which investigated the effects of the food matrix in which the gluten is ingested, and there are huge differences in terms of how much gluten is actually broken down if you co-ingest other nutrients. So some of the recently overhead studies on gluten sensitivity, they actually used pure gluten in order to demonstrate that everybody is sensitive. So there may be very different results if the gluten is actually consumed in form of a complex food matrix with rather low levels of gluten in it. The problems may not occur. And as you've also pointed out, there is a huge issue or a huge connection with the microbiome, where actually some studies showed that a certain tribe of people, I think in South America, they actually begin to break down the gluten protein already when they're chewing their food, because they have certain bacteria in their saliva other people don't have.
Yeah, there's more that, and that's my point. There's more to this whole gluten story than what we think it is. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to start talking about the latest paleo movement symposium in Germany, of which Adele Musa was a guest presenter. If you don't know who Adele Musa is, and I can't believe that you don't, but if you are the one person who doesn't know who he is, there's a great blog called Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Adele releases some of the most profoundly well-thought-out blog posts about nutrition, supplementation, training, and everything else. Everyone in the nutrition and fitness industry looks to Adele Musa now. And that's saying something. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
You drink coffee, but do you know know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink NutriCafe. NutriCafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. NutriCafe tastes amazing because it's low acid and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the NutriCafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one NutriCafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with the brilliant Adel Moussa, a man whose brain is only slowed down by his fingers and mouth. I mean, the amount of work that you put out is just breathtaking, and people have to realize that you're also a university professor, so you actually have a life and a job. Yet
no, actually, I'm not at the moment. I'm working at schools these days because before I get my doctorate, there is no full-time job at school at the university for me, and working at school is paid much better than a 50% job at the university level. So maybe I'm going to do a few seminars in the next semester again, but my main work is currently at school.
Okay, but I mean, my point was that you still teach, right?
Yeah, of course, yes, I do.
And as a teacher, that gives you, there's a lot of workload, and yet you put out the type of researched articles, well-researched articles that most people do, and that's their full-time job. I mean, it's amazing what you can do. Adel Moussa can do more with one half of his brain tied behind his back than most people can do with their entire brain. All right, so with that being said, on July 25th of this year, Berlin hosted the first Paleo Convention, of which you were one of the guest speakers. There were 12 speakers altogether, correct?
Yes, I think there were 12, right.
Dr. Paul Jaminet, Professor Dr. Spitz, Adel Moussa, Dr. Sabina, is it Sabina or Sabine Paul?
I think it's Sabina.
Okay.
But I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, well, we're trying our best. Emmanuel Bolander, Johannes Quella, Jinwu Bay, and Conrad Nopes, Benjamin June, put on workshops. So who actually organized this, this event?
Well, there are actually two paleo entities from Berlin organized it. So they don't do it for, it's a non-profit thing for them, at least by now. And they do it because they love paleo and they want to make it more popular in Germany. And obviously they maybe also wanted to get to know the guests they invited and, to enjoy the event themselves.
Who, what, do you know their names, the guys who put it together?
Oh, I would have to check. I don't know them by heart.
Okay.
Paul,
okay.
And, I don't know their, I only know their surname, so.
Okay.
I will check it and tell after the next break. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, cause I want to give them a plug and kind of help them out a little bit here. So talk about some of the things that went on there and also about your particular lecture. What did you talk about?
Well, my lecture was actually called The Evolutionary Diet. And the I, as in iPad and whatever, stands for the person as an individual. And the evolution, which is for obviously the last part of evolution, it is supposed to indicate that the perfect diet, if you want to find it, it will not be a static diet. It will change as you age. It will change as your goal change, as your goals change. And it will obviously also change in response to how you eat. So if you, for example, go onto a very low carbohydrate diet when you are obese and losing a lot of weight, this may be the perfect diet for you during this part of your life, or this part of your journey, as you may say. And later on, when you lost that very much weight and you have new goals, for example, like building muscle or getting fitter, or maybe being really athletic, the perfect diet may be the diametrically opposite
right.
of what it was before. So what I actually wanted to convey in my presentation is that although the paleo template may be a great thing, it also has the beauty of being not very specific. And so within the template, by taking many of the principles I actually like, you can still eat very differently, for example, in terms of the macronutrient composition. And you don't, it's not just that you can do this, but it's actually that you have to do this if you want to consume the diet that's optimal or that's optimally aligned with your personal goals.
And I actually like that better than, you know, the ubiquitous term healthy diet, because so many people think their particular dietary template is healthy because of the information that they're reading, and a lot of that information is given in a more dogmatic instead of pragmatic way, that they believe that it's indisputable that this is healthy. And when you look at these diets, you find them anything but healthy, but they're also so rigid. And so, you know, the nice thing about the paleo diet is that aside from things like grain, it's pretty non-exclusionary. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, it is. And actually, obviously, I couldn't say the paleo diet is the last trash on the paleo convention, and I even didn't want to. What I did in my presentation is that I also talked about the things I particularly like about the paleo diet. And if you look at dietary success in general, there are even good studies which prove this. The most important thing is that people actually can adhere to the diet. And if we come back to adherence and look at the different diet formats you find out there, there are the very strict diets like the diets which say eat only these two foods all day, every day,
right.
for the whole year. So those are the very, very strict diets where people usually fall off the wagon after at least 2 weeks, or maybe some people manage to do it for 1 month. And then there are diets like the paleo diet which may exclude some foods completely but are in general rather a set of things like try to eat more of these foods and try to eat less of those foods.
Right.
And they are still practical enough and concrete enough for people to actually follow them. And those are the ones that are usually very successful. And then there are diets which are often called, very often attributed as being very healthy, like the Mediterranean diet, where actually I haven't found up to now what the Mediterranean diet is.
Huh?
When I think about it, I usually think of a virgin olive oil, but I can't live off virgin olive oil only. And there is no real concrete or practical prescription you could follow, not even those eat more of these and eat less of that, at least not not a standardized version of the Mediterranean diet. Also, if you look at the research that's out there, and they say the Mediterranean diet template compared to the standard American diet template, and you look at what the people actually ate, it's often very different in the different studies. So this would be the other extreme, where you don't have the guidance people actually need to put the dietary advice into practice. So this right balance between strict rigidity and a certain degree of freedom, this is actually one of the major strengths, I think, of the paleo diet, next to the soundness or the even science-based evidence that would support many of the recommendations that are part of the paleo concept.
I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk more about the lecture you gave, evolutionary diet, I think is what you called it, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And because there's another aspect to it as well, and this is something people have very short willingness to let things work, and they hop from one thing to another if they don't see the results they want in unrealistic time frames, and I think that's another phenomenon that being able to just go online and look at a diet has also produced. So let's talk about that when we come back. We're talking with Adel Moussa. His website is supversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by RevGen
Genetics. You could save 20% off Medicare Curcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Medicare Curcumin by Rev Genetics today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic raw EVOO for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're recapping the first ever German Paleo Symposium. My guest, Adele Moussa, was a presenter. Lots of presenters. Paul Jaminet was there, and we're going to talk more about that in a minute. You know, Adele, I remember one time you and I were commenting about somebody who today was keto, yesterday they were this, the day after that they were that. And you know, whoever's blog they read, they kind of hop from one thing to another. Isn't that another phenomenon of this evolutionary diet? That people, before you used to have to invest in a book, read the book, and there really was no hopping unless you were reading 2 or 3 books at the same time and confusing yourself, which you don't do. But today, you go to this blog, you read that, you go, oh, I have to be on keto. You do keto for a week and you don't see the results. And in the meantime, you're reading a new blog that's a cut out egg diet. And you go, oh, I have to do that. Isn't that another phenomenon of this whole information overload world we live in?
I think it is. And it's also obviously related to wanting to see results or to reverse what you've done to your own body in years in just a few weeks. I mean, people always expect to see results very fast, but sometimes it takes time for even the most effective diet to work, and sometimes the most effective diet actually takes longer to shed a few pounds of weight than the one that will make you gain the weight back within a few weeks. It takes some time, and it also takes a lot of effort to see results. And the evolution is something that happens very slowly. So the evolutionary diet will also change very slowly. And it may also change gradually. So you may, for example, want to introduce carbohydrates slowly instead of going from a very low carbohydrate to a very low fat diet from 1 week to the next. So this is also part of the concept. And it's also part of the concept to give the diet you try or the changes you make some time to actually be able to evaluate the results.
Yeah, but people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that you have to do this for 2 to 3 weeks before it even starts working, because they are convinced that if they were doing the right thing, they would see immediate results. Day two, day three, they'd be losing weight. And quite frankly, when you're talking about chronic disease and reversing some of the underlying damage from chronic disease, it requires both a removal of the insult and then therapeutic action, which means over and above what just normally would be acceptable for maintenance. And then that has to be done for years, because when your symptoms of whatever chronic disease you've developed show up, they have been undergoing those changes quite often for 5, 6, 7 years before the symptoms actually manifest, because the body is trying its hardest to maintain a state of homeostasis. And then it just runs out of ability. If you think that you can reverse the damaging effects of chronic disease in 6 months, you're crazy. It takes years to do that, but you have to trust the progress. You have to trust what's the word I'm looking for? You have to trust the process. And most people don't trust the process.
That's true, and actually this reminds me of an interesting linguistic difference between the German and the English language. When we in Germany talk about a diet, there's the same word in Germany. It's Diät, but it's almost the same spelling. We usually think about an energetically reduced diet or something that is meant to have you lose weight. So when you hear the word diet in Germany or the equivalent, you always think of doing something for a short term, for a short time period in order to shed some weight. And this is actually what people really have to understand. There is you really have to change your diet, so quote unquote, forever and never go back in order to be really successful, especially if you really, if you have done some serious damage before. You have to change your diet, and you also have to change the way you live. And actually, this was one of the things I really liked about the Paleo Convention. There were all these little exercise groups where coaches showed people how to work out with kettlebells or how to work out with bodyweight exercises and stuff like this. And there were people running around in training clothes everywhere and going from the symposium, listening to the talks, right to one of these courses and doing all the exercises and stuff like this. This was really what I think people have to realize, that this is all about a healthy lifestyle, not just about a healthy diet.
You know, and this is really, okay, so this weekend, Elisa started getting the New York Times delivered to the house, and there was an article in there by one of the guys who wrote the Blue Zone books. They're two brothers. And the whole entire article was about longevity. The entire article, except for an honorary mention about activity, was about food. And people just don't, if you think that health and longevity only come from the way you eat, you could eat like the Okinawans from now till kingdom come, and you're not going to live as long as the Okinawans, who are a primitive group of people who, by the way, smoke per capita more cigarettes than Americans do, but don't die of cancer. Now, that's not because of their diet. It's because they go to sleep when the sun goes down. They get up when the sun comes up. They're active. They're natives. They don't sit at a desk all day and work at computers. They walk constantly. They don't need a Fitbit to remind them to get 10,000 steps. They get 10,000 steps in before noon. And so this nonsense about, oh, everything, anything about health and longevity has to exclusively be about the diet. This is another big area of frustration to me.
It certainly is, and it reminds me that I got more than 10,000 steps when I was in Berlin, because I walked most of the ways I had to most of the destinations I wanted to go to instead of taking the train. And this was actually quite an interesting experience for me, because usually I use the bike, but I didn't have a bike with me in Berlin, so I had to walk. And I realized that even though I'm really active, walking was a very very new movement, so to say, for me, at least in terms of walking really long distances for longer times. So even I realize that I'm not used to walking. I think most of the people will be even more strangers to actually walking longer distances. And recently there was an interesting study published which actually investigated what makes the difference between people who succeed in exercise-related weight loss study. So there were the responders who worked or who followed the exercise prescription and stuck to their regular diet, and there were other people who did the same exercises, the same workouts, and actually went there and were supervised while they were doing them, and they didn't lose weight. And the scientists tried to figure out what happened, and what they found was that the non-responders, at least among the male subjects, they stopped or they reduced their regular physical activity, like walking from A to B or taking the stairs instead of the elevator, and therefore they didn't have a caloric deficit, while the responders, they were in a caloric deficit by adding the exercise to their regular physical activity. So this actually reminded me of how important it really is that you move in your everyday life, because it's also a means of keeping your metabolism running, and it expends for many people much more energy than the three workouts they get in 1 week.
Right, right. I mean, this is, and this really, I remember writing a blog years ago, and basically the theme of the blog was maybe the secret about the Mediterranean diet is that the people in Europe walk to and from the restaurant. Not necessarily
possible,
the food that
yeah.
they eat. Yeah, because yeah, we already know there's good research that shows that getting up and moving after a meal has a better effect than many of the diabetes drugs in lowering and stabilizing blood sugar levels. And guess what? The people in Europe, they don't drive anywhere. They walk everywhere. They walk to the restaurant. They walk to work or they ride bicycles. They're so much more active than we are. It's not all about the food. And that's another thing I do like about the paleo movement. The paleo movement understands activity and exercise are an important factor in longevity and health. All these other dietary templates, all they focus on is the food. That's
yeah.
all they do.
Well, one thing that resurfaced recently is this thing of extending your lifespan by eating less, by caloric restriction. And whenever this comes up, I'm really mad because if you look at the results of animal trials and look at the animals and how they look when they aged, maybe they get 10% older, but they are sarcopenic, which means that they lost all their muscle when they were aging and hardly able to move. So if you want to, the question really is, do you want to have another maybe 5 years where you are really miserable and you are miserable in the years before as well? Or do you want to live a life that may be only 3 years longer with a really healthy lifestyle that involves exercise and a healthy, quote-unquote, healthy diet, now I'm using the term myself, that is not calorically restricted? And I think most people will want the maybe 2 years less, but rather than that, be really active and be able to do everything as they age.
You know what? I want to take a break, and when we come back, I do want to talk about all the other lecturers. If you could please give us a recap then. And then I want to come back to this topic, because did you see the Asian scientist I had on that said it's all about your size? Small people?
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
Okay, I want to explore that at the end of today's show. We're going to get into something really cool here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active. I need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Supreme Radio. We're talking with Adel Moussa. His blog is Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. He applies an uncommon style of logic and reasoning when he looks at research. One of the best critical thinkers in the industry. Best blog to read. If you only have time to read one blog, of course, after you read Alex Leaf's blog at SupremeRadio.com, you should go to Subversity.com. How's that sound?
That's good. And now that we're doing shout-outs, I briefly want to mention the two organizers of this radio convention.
Yes.
Those are Paul Zielhorst and Leon Benedis. And actually, both of them are really nice people. And I was even invited to a meeting with the other speakers, or at least those who were already there on the evening before the convention. And there was a large paleo buffet. And the foods were really amazing. I was quite surprised because I have to admit, I never ate cassava starch, for example, before, and it tasted really, really good.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. And so, Dr. Paul Jaminet was there. Did you attend any of the other, events?
Unfortunately, only a few, because there were a lot of people who wanted to talk to me, and I even had to do a couple of interviews. But I actually made time to listen to Paul's talk, yeah. So he talked about chronic infections mostly, and their role in metabolic disease. And I think many people who are familiar with Paul's work will know the basic notion that he thinks that chronic infections, or there's a clear association in the research between chronic infections with certain pathogens, viruses and bacteria, and metabolic diseases. And his idea is that his diet will help you to get healthy in order to get rid of the bugs without medical treatment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and I think this was one of the things I really liked about his talk, he said that sometimes you can do it just with a diet. Sometimes you will need medication in order to kickstart the process of getting rid of the bugs. What I personally was a bit skeptical about is that he really put, for me personally, too much of an emphasis on the pathogens and too little of an emphasis on the fact that many of the dietary changes he recommends will actually out of themselves, by making the diet quote-unquote healthier, induce profound metabolic changes that don't necessarily have to be related to pathogens or to eradications of pathogens in order to make you healthier. So I also think that the experimental evidence to prove that really most of the problems we have today are actually related to pathogens is not there. What we do have is some observational evidence that says there may be a link, but you could also say there is a link between being sick and being more prone to infections and having pathogens or being exposed to pathogens and actually becoming sick. So I think it's a bit difficult to say that this is the main reason.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
obviously, it doesn't really depend what's the reason as long as what you do helps you become healthier, right?
Yeah, because it's hard to separate. When we start talking about pathogens, we're talking about quite often the microbes that infest our body. When we talk about the microbes that infest our body, we now are talking about the immune system. So it's impossible to talk about pathogens. Well, it's impossible to talk about chronic infection or even mycotoxicity, for that matter, without bringing into it how robust the immune system is. And when you start talking about the immune system, you're talking about the microbes. So they're it's kind of interwoven, and it's hard to identify which is the chicken and which is the egg. But what is clear is this, at least to me. When you change your diet, you change the landscape of the microbes. Now, does that mean that you're wiping out the bad microbes? Not necessarily. You could just be feeding the good microbes, and their influence on the microbiota becomes more predominant and overpowering.
Yeah.
But you're not necessarily wiping out the bad microbes.
Yes. And people who know my Facebook website will know that I always post those small news items there. And I write them in advance, and sometimes 2 weeks in advance. And when I did this yesterday, I filed a news on a study which shows that a certain type of diet and supplementation with prebiotics will have a profound effect on your metabolic health and on the gut microbiome. But what's pretty interesting about this study is that the scientists try to correlate the health improvements with the changes in the composition of the bacteria in the gut of the subjects. And they didn't find a real link. They could find that the diet improved the metabolic health, but they didn't find any evidence that there is a causal relationship between the changes in the bacterial makeup of the microbiome and the improvements in health.
Right.
So the two could be corollary. So the health improves and the diet changes, and the microbiome, as you said, it adapts to the new environment. And it's really difficult to say, to even identify what are the bad and the good guys when we're talking about these bacteria. For example, the same bacteria that are very bad for someone who is on the standard American diet may not be a real problem for someone who eats healthy every day.
Yeah, and that's the effect, and that's the effect of eating the same foods day in and day out, week in and week out. I mean, that's another aspect of the consistency of diet. You know, quite often there are people out there who eat foods that are not necessarily listed in the paleo environment as the right foods, but they've eaten them so long that somehow the body adjusts to metabolizing them and producing good results with them. One of the things that always comes around with me is something that I thought about over 10 years ago, but every now and then it comes back when we talk about diet, and that's the notion of food combining. I keep coming back to this idea that if we're really going to look at the beneficial effects of an ancestral diet, we need to look at food combining or the lack thereof. I mean, if we're really going to look at our paleo ancestors and say that is the last time that we ate the way humans were designed to eat, then how can we discount that our paleo ancestors, if they caught an animal, they ate nothing but that animal until they ran out of that animal's flesh to eat, and then they moved on to something else. Nobody sat down and said, hey, we just killed an elk. You know what would taste good with this? Let's go get some sweet potatoes from that field over there. Somebody go get some broccoli over there. We'll make a no, they ate that only exclusively for days in and days out. And the reason I talk about food combining is because when you eat the same food 5 times a day, 3 times a day, 3 days in a row, this causes the microbes in the stomach that are that seem to flourish on that food to grow faster, because they're getting a hit every day, three or four times a day, as opposed to confusing it that you're putting potatoes in with it and broccoli in with it and everything else. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are going to say, Carl, you don't know what you're talking about. But when I logic this out and I think about food combining may be a problem, in my humble opinion.
Well, on the other hand, there's good evidence that it's the exact opposite. And the reason you applied is maybe faulty, and that's also something I mentioned in my presentation, because the idea of looking at the paleo diet as being the optimal diet, it is problematic if you consider the fact that it is an opportunistic diet or was an opportunistic diet in at least 90% of the cases. So the people, our ancestors had to eat what they found. And it's hardly imaginable that this is optimal. So what the research actually says is, for example, recently a study was published that shows if you consume resistant starch along with meat, at least in rodents this was proven, the production of short-chain fatty acids in the colon will actually reduce the production of the bad metabolites that may occur if you consume too much red meat that are linked to colon cancer. So in this case, food combining is actually what may prevent the rise of colon cancer. I don't think that in general you would really have to eat everything in isolation. But another thing that comes to mind is that the variety in food is a huge problem when you think about the overconsumption of food. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this from yourself, but for example, if you finished your meal with a dessert, at one point in time you don't want another gram of the dessert, but you really could go back to the salty things you ate before. And especially with snacks, you often see people switching between chocolate, for example, the sweet snacks, and something like potato chips, back and forth. And they eat much more in this way than they would eat if they consumed only one of these foods and were restricted to only one of these foods. So I think there may be a problem with food combining and being having too many different foods available. But I'm not quite sure if it's really a problem to eat, for example, broccoli with chicken breast, and it would be better to eat the chicken breast first and the broccoli after.
Right.
There is evidence that, for example, it may be a good idea to in terms of glycemia, but in general, for healthy people, it doesn't. The glycemic excursions after a meal are not so much of a problem.
Okay. I want to take I want to take another break because I have to stay on the clock here, and there's so much that I want to talk to you about because it's been so long since we've had you on the show. I want to come back and ask you about how many people actually attended this event, and are we going to see another one next year? We're talking with Adel Moussa. His blog is Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Subversity.com is where all the gurus go and read first before they publish their blogs. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains.
Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active. I need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds, and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with the brilliant Adele Moussa. We're talking about the first German Paleo Symposium. It occurred July 25th in Berlin, Germany, and it was a great success. How many people actually turned out, Adele? Do you know? About 1,100, I heard. Is that true?
Yeah, I think people say about 2,000 people, yeah.
Wow.
It was really crowded, and everybody was positively surprised. There were obviously two events that were a bit separated. There was a symposium with training where you actually had to pay a relatively high fee to be to participate, but you got a large goodie bag and stuff like this. And there was the market where you could see products and you could get information about paleo in general. Is especially for people who didn't really know much about paleo, this was the better option, obviously. And altogether, I think there were about 2,000 people there.
And I think you told me before the show started that Paul Jaminet actually had to go to Germany anyway because there's an investor who's investing in a restaurant that is actually using the healthy diet protocol to serve food at a restaurant, right?
Yeah, there's a new restaurant obviously opening in Düsseldorf. Which is on the other side of Germany, but Germany is small, so the distances are not so great as they are in the US. In Düsseldorf opened, there is a restaurant, and Paul had to go there, I think in 3 days or so after the Paleo Convention, to be part of the official opening and also to train the cooks, on how to prepare the foods and actually, when they come up with their own recipes, which principles they have to follow. So there's now obviously the first official Perfect Health restaurant, as Paul Jaminet's diet is called, the Perfect Health Diet. It's a Perfect Health restaurant that has opened in Düsseldorf.
How exciting! And you know, and that really makes me feel good because it shows that, I've been waiting for like more of the mainstream restaurants to really get a hold of this approach, this dietary template.
Yeah, you will laugh that the after-show dinner party was in one out of two paleo restaurants in Berlin.
Really?
So we actually all the speakers and the other people who paid for the after-show party, we all went to a paleo restaurant, quote-unquote paleo restaurant, where they only serve paleo comfortable foods, and it's one out of two in Berlin.
That's pretty cool. So is there talk about another event next year?
Yes, they did. So actually, with the success of this year, I think it's pretty certain that we are going to see another paleo convention in the next year.
And I wonder if we'll see some of the paleo, big-name paleo individuals from the United States there next year.
I suppose that now that they are sure that they are certain that people in Germany are actually interested in this, it's quite possible that we're seeing some of the bigger names there, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay, couple things I want to talk about. First of all, your mention of the ultra-low-calorie diet and longevity. I had a scientist on the show, Alex Leaf actually booked it, I think, or maybe Elisa booked it, I forget, about a month or so ago, who came on and said longevity is exclusively a result of body mass synthesis. So whether it's body fat or muscle, if you undergo rapid synthesis of body mass at any point in your life, and this is even he states that he did a review of all the available research, even within transgenic rats that have that overproduce growth hormone, the smaller of the litters tend to outlive the larger of the litters, which we already know have short lifespans already. And he said that it's exclusively a result of body mass. That's why small people outlive big people. And I listened to him, quite frankly, with a very, very open mind. But after the interview was over, I found so many flaws in his theory. The first one is that women who have babies, they can outlive their husbands quite often, 7 to 10 years. They can live into their 80s and 90s without a problem. And they're mass producing. I mean, there's no greater synthetic process than giving birth to a baby. And then also the study done on fullerene, Buckminster fullerene C60, where they extended the lifespan of the rats. It didn't matter what size they were, by 100%. These rats lived to twice their lifespan just by using this very aggressive antioxidant protocol. What do you think about his notion that only the small survive, and the bigger you are, the sooner you die?
Well, I don't know. There is obviously an association with the shorter lifespan and growth hormone overproduction, and there may be a link with the size and growth hormone levels. But in general, I haven't heard about this theory before, and I'm actually very skeptical that there is something to that there is this component of an accumulation of mass of whatever kind. I mean. You see that the people who accumulate the most fat mass will die first, while the people who accumulate the most lean mass in natural ways, they are not necessarily dying at the same point in time or as early. So I think there is probably a flaw in his assumption, and there's certainly a flaw in the way he tried to figure this out, because From what I see, he bases his theory mostly on observational data and maybe some experimental data and rodent studies. And one of the things that really turns out, or that really shows up whenever you look at the longevity studies, is actually that many of the things that appear to work great in very small creatures and very simple creatures like roundworms, they don't work really well in mice, and most of them don't work at all in monkeys, and it's very unlikely that they are going to work in human beings in terms of a really practically significant life extension that also involves the quality of life you would want to have if your life is extended by, say, 5 years. And I'm really skeptical about all the longevity research and the whole notion of becoming older than 100 years is, well, I think it also scares me, you know, when you think of a society where you stop working with 60 years or 65 years and everybody is getting 100 years old. If you think of a society like Germany and our social security system here, it would break down within 10 years if everybody would make it past the 100-year mark. And if you look at the rodent studies, usually the creatures that become older, they may get 10% older, but as I pointed out before, usually not in a state of health you would necessarily want to be in as a human being. So, if you want to live longer, it all comes back to what we said before, to try to lead a healthy lifestyle, and especially it's not so important if it's 90 years or 95 years, but it's rather important that those 90 years you live them in a very healthy condition.
Quality of life.
And being able to do whatever you want to. And for me personally, that at least would be the more important factor than the number of years I spent on this.
No, I agree 100%. He really lost me when I started thinking about women who have babies being the greatest example of synthesis of body mass. When I told him about my theory about donating blood so that my body produces fresh, clean blood and mesenchymal stem cells and all these great things, he said, "You're just going to die sooner because of the production of blood." And so I asked him what the pathway of this longevity effect or lack of longevity effect in body synthesis was. And he said that we only have a certain amount of energy. We're like a battery that once we, and I, that's when he lost me. Like, in other words, we have a static amount of energy, a static number of heartbeats. And once we exceed those, we die. And that's when I thought to myself, this is wrong. This defies logic. We have the ability to synthesize new energy. We have the ability to do things to improve energy production. This notion that, oh, you have a finite amount of energy, and once you exceed that, you die.
Well, you could argue that there's finite length of your telomeres, and the ability of the cells to be recycled. But even with that, we know that it's not static, and you can do very much in order to actually change how fast your telomeres will shorten. And the whole idea of this of not being able to influence this is, for me personally, it's very critical to accept that. It's not critical, but it would be a mistake to accept that. It's similar to this idea of, well, I'm going to die from whatever because it's already in my genes.
Right.
We know that many things are in our genes, but this may increase our chance of, for example, having prostate cancer. But still, there are so many other variables, environmental variables, variables related to our lifestyle that can change this fate,
right,
quote-unquote fate, that the whole idea of going only on a predetermined path is actually, for many people, just an excuse. And I don't think it's really the truth. Some of us are born with a certain disadvantage in this aspect, but I think the idea that there is nothing to do about it, or there is no use in at least trying to do something, is really dangerous.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And you know what? I had this feeling. Can you stay with me for one more break? Because I want to talk about fish oil when we come back. Can you do that?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
No
but, problem. But you know what I kept thinking about when I was interviewing him? He's probably a really little guy. And so he thinks like he's going to live
longer.
Yeah, he's going to live longer because he's little. And the rest of us who are larger, we our fate is cast already. We have nothing to do about it. But
he's pointing with the finger at us.
Yeah,
going to die first.
Yeah. We're going to take one break. When we come back, we're going to get a unique, objective opinion on fish oil supplementation. Fish oil supplementation is all the rage right now. But is it a mistake? And if so, in what condition? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit Predator Nutrition. And Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics, Progenidrex.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with the brilliant Adele Moussa. I could fill 2 hours just talking to Adele, traversing all the landscape about nutrition, health, longevity, exercise, and you can get all that at his blog, subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. So fish oil is all the rage. Some people feel that it's anabolic. Others say it protects the heart. It affects triglyceride levels. All of these purported benefits. In fact, fish oil is the number one selling supplement year after year. It tops $1.2 billion in sales, and that's commodity sales, keep in mind, every year in the United States. So in a recent post, Alex Leaf wrote a great article showing that it may be better to take fish oil once a week in a bolus instead of daily. And in the article, you pointed out that it was a good article, but then you punctuated your statement by saying, but I don't believe people should take fish oil. So talk about that.
Yeah, I think the idea of taking fish oil is similar to the idea of taking a multivitamin, that it's something everybody has to take. And as it is with the diet, there are no real supplements everybody has to take. They are called supplements because they supplement your diet where you're deficient. And if you think about the idea of taking fish oil, you obviously want to have more omega-3 fatty acids in your diet. The question now is how much of these do we actually need? And the answer pretty much is that we need so much, or we quote-unquote need so much omega-3 fatty acids in our diet because we are eating so much omega-6s. And a much better approach to eating healthier and to improve your diet would be to try to reduce your omega-6 intakes, not to zero, but rather to cut out all the hidden sources of omega-6s in your diet, which come with all the processed foods, of course, and to switch from for example, soybean oils or other high omega-6 oils to better options, which are high in monounsaturated fatty acids. This alone will actually improve your omega-6 to omega-3 ratio significantly, and the question really is whether you really need to supplement with omega-3 fatty acids if it's not much easier or has much more profound beneficial effects on your diet if you have fatty fish once a week. And this would actually really go with what Alex Leaf posted, because if you have a huge serving of fatty fish once a week, you would actually get this high dose of omega-3s once a week and get the benefit of better absorption and integration into the cell membranes where you actually want it. And many of the studies that are often cited, or actually more than 90% of the studies that are actually often cited in favor of taking fish oil supplements, have been conducted in obese, pre-diabetic, or otherwise sick individuals. And I think that most of the listeners of Superhuman Radio won't belong really into this particular target group of people who would benefit from fish oils because they are consuming a pro-inflammatory, high omega-6 diet. And if you look at the evidence and try to use it in favor or to argue in favor of the quote-unquote everyone must use fish oil supplements, you're really barking up the wrong tree. What you should be interested in are studies in healthy individuals and the benefits healthy individuals can get from fish oil supplementation. And if you look into those studies, there's actually really pretty much nothing you can get out of it. For example, there are even studies in athletes like judo athletes where they supplemented them with 1 gram of fish oil per day only, and they saw an increase in lipid oxidation and oxidative stress, which is probably due to the fact that those omega-3 fatty acids are easily oxidized. And if you look at other studies, people are always looking for performance benefits, and if you look on the internet and on blogs, you will see people taking it for granted that your performance will increase on omega-3 fatty acids. But the only thing you can really find are studies that maybe show, for example, a reduced heart rate but no increase in performance. And what's it worth that your heart rate maybe is one beat per minute lower when you're working out and the performance doesn't increase?
Right.
So the assumption that something that's good for the obese is also good for an athlete is as faulty as the assumption that brought us to the low-fat diet, which actually is very good for an athlete to consume tons of carbohydrates to fuel his workout. He may perform at an Olympia level, But to assume that this athlete is in perfect shape and he's consuming a ton of carbohydrates, so the obese person must consume a ton of carbohydrates, that brought us into problems. And many people today are seeing similar problems when they assume that, well, a low-carbohydrate diet is ideal for an obese person to lose weight. So I, as an athlete or as a gym rat who's training every day, will go on the same diet, and then they realize they bunk. That's the same logical fallacy.
Right.
And as far as I know, there is really no very good evidence that fish oil supplements are really beneficial for people who are in perfect shape and perfect health. So, and there's another thing you have to keep in mind when we are talking about fish oil supplementation for obese people. There's a very interesting and rarely cited studies from the year 2000. It was conducted in Great Britain, and the scientists tried to figure out which effect would the ApoE genotype have on your response to fish oil. And what they found is that the people who probably would be the first to take a fish oil supplement, which are the people with the ApoE4 phenotype, which will make you have higher cholesterol levels by nature,
right,
and also higher triglyceride levels. So you, if you are an ApoE4 genotype, you will always have trouble trying to control your lipid metabolism, and obviously those are the first people who will go and buy fish oil in order to help themselves metabolize fats. Those people were the ones who had reduced HDL levels and increased LDL levels,
right,
in response to fish oil. And the exact opposite response of what happened in the people with other ApoE genotypes. So it's really not prudent to assume that, well, supplement X is ideal for my obese neighbor, so it's ideal for me too, irrespective of whether you have the same body weight or body fat levels. And I want to get back to the other idea of eating fish rather than taking fish oil supplements. This is similar to the idea of taking a multivitamin supplement instead of eating veggies and fruit every day.
Right.
Because some people really use this as an excuse. They think it's their insurance. If they take fish oil supplements, they're on the safe side. They can still eat all the foods that contain a high amount of omega-6 fatty acids because now they are buffering it. But if you look at the evidence from rodent studies, you will see that when the omega-6 intake reaches a certain level, buffering it with omega-3 fatty acids is not really going to solve the problem. So it's really about trying to reduce the omega-6 intake to quote-unquote normal levels in order to balance the two out and to increase your omega-3 intake from food in order to reach an optimal level. And this is my main argument against this general assumption that everybody has to take fish oil supplements. And even worse, to buy those bottled fish oil, the bottled fish oil that is going to go rancid after you open it.
So the reality is reducing omega-6s is really should be the goal, not necessarily improving or increasing omega-3. And the reality,
I think it's a good idea to keep an eye on omega-3s in your foods, because
right,
if you look at the foods that contain omega-3 fatty acids, doing this is similar to the advice you can give to someone to eat 20 grams of fiber every day. If he goes and buys a fiber supplement, he gets his 20 grams of fiber. If he tries to get this from food, he would totally change his diet, and this will have a profound effect.
Right.
Not the fiber supplement. If you have to get your foods from your omega-3s from foods, you will have to eat the healthy fatty fish, which, by the way, is not just healthy because it contains omega-3 fatty acids once a week. So I think this would be the preferable route. And I personally don't take any fish oil, and I have never felt any benefit. I tried it once, but I really didn't, from what I read in the articles and the studies, there's no real good argument in favor of taking it for me personally.
Well,
on the other hand, I'm trying to control my omega-6 fat intake without demonizing it too completely, because you will also run into problems if you don't consume any of those. Think of arachidonic acid, which also plays a role in
right,
muscle growth.
Well, and so I was taking 4 grams of fish oil a day as an experiment, because we did a show on elderly people, and they and actually had an anabolic response. It helped them put on a greater degree of muscle. But obviously, these elderly people may have been deficient in omega-3s entirely, for instance. So I tried taking 4 grams of fish oil a day, and after about 2 weeks, I actually started to feel sick. I started to feel sluggish. I started to feel sick. I just didn't feel right. And then I stopped, and about a week later, I kind of snapped out of it. And I don't know if it was, you know, this is anecdotal N equals one type of research.
Yeah, it is.
So I don't know what it was. But I had a discussion with Alex Leaf. And Alex said that in people who don't have chronic inflammation, suppressing inflammation to a greater degree is not a good thing. And that sometimes they can actually get like foggy in the brain. And that's what I experienced. I experienced like a sense of like not being with it, so to speak.
Yeah, and actually one of the interesting things is that this balance between omega-6 fatty acids and omega-3 fatty acids is something that works in both ways. We really need the byproducts of the omega-6 fatty acids, which are quote-unquote inflammatory, to work optimally. And if you really suffocate the fire, you actually can run into similar problems as if the fire was burning down the house. So you really need a balance, and I think this is something people have to understand, that a happy medium is not mediocre, it's not something bad, it's not the opposite of optimal. It's rather the opposite when we think about our body and how it works. Balance is key, and in this case, taking too much omega-3 fatty acids can be as much of a problem as taking too much omega-6 fatty acids.
What do you think of walnuts? Do you eat walnuts?
Yes, I do.
I started eating walnuts over 10 years ago when I read a study that showed that they fed people a quote-unquote high-fat pro-inflammatory meal. And one group they gave, I forget what they gave them, some sort of seeds, and the other one they gave walnuts. And the group that got walnuts, their postprandial inflammatory markers were suppressed, and so they said that eating a handful of walnuts with a meal that you know is going to increase inflammation has the ability to reduce the inflammatory response of that meal. But then I read in some of these paleo blogs, as you point out, the evolution process here, that, don't eat walnuts because they have omega-6s in them.
Yeah, they have. But for example, this is a perfect example of how food matrices or complex foods are very complicated things, because walnuts also contain a very low, but they contain melatonin, they contain vitamin E. They contain vitamin E also in a full spectrum. They contain various forms of vitamin E, and they contain a lot of other things that come with the omega-6s that make what you may believe is a bad thing because it contains 4 times more omega-6 fatty acids than omega-3s, a very healthy food. On the other hand, I wouldn't recommend to live on walnuts in general, but I don't doubt the result that the pro-inflammatory assault from the inflammatory meal was actually ameliorated. And you also have to think about the balance in the food. If you only consume walnuts, for example, you still have a 1 to 4 omega-3 to omega-6 ratio, which would be pretty much optimal. And if you follow this principle with all your foods and strictly avoid those which are very high in omega-6 only, you will still be on the right track.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, good point. Adele, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. It's refreshing to be able to just have these types of discussions. I miss the opportunity to have you on the show. I really do. So
yeah, I hope to make this possible in the not too distant future, that we're going to have maybe every other week another show to keep up to date, so to say.
Yeah, I would love to do that. Listen, thanks for being on today. Congratulations to the group there for making the paleo movement part of the German nutritional landscape, and the insight to have Adele Moussa as one of your guest speakers. Thanks a lot, Adele.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Thank you.
That's it for today. That's all we got. And I got to tell you, it's a lot. There's a lot of good stuff in this show. I hope you enjoyed it. We've got great shows all week long. Hope you can tune in live. And if you can't, The podcast is always there when you need it. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.